Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to look at verse 23, 24, and 25. And while you're looking for that, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And by the way, Michael, it's good to have you. I wanted to say hello to Michael Zastro. And good that you could be with us this morning and your little one. And thank you for coming and being a part of our service. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, and then 1 Timothy, what did I say, chapter? Did I give you a chapter in 1 Timothy? Chapter 3, okay. No one remembers, so it's a good thing I said it again. Hebrews chapter 10, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, actually, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 first. It says in verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? The truth." Now, Hebrews chapter 10. And I want us to look here. It says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." And it tells us here in verse 24, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Let's say that verse out loud, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, it's interesting that we have this study, and we've been doing this study on the local church. And we have, some months ago, I listened to a message, actually probably a year or two ago, I listened to a message, and then it reminded me of it, because I was trying to get a sense of what is going on in this area of church. People are going to church a lot less today than they used to go. And there used to be a sense of honor to be a part of a local church. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody felt that way, but it does mean that, you know, if you were a politician, it really looked good on your resume to say you were involved in a church somewhere. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. People are going to church less and less. And so as a result of that, I was reminded of this message I heard, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go back and listen to that. And I listened to it again, which gave me the basis by which I've been doing a series on this. Now, we've been away from it because of mission conference and Thanksgiving and things like that, but I did want to come back to it, and this probably is going to be my last message on the importance of the local church. The issue of ministry in the local church is what I want to deal with this evening, or this morning. The issue of ministry in the local church. Now, if you notice there, it tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And I'll tell you what's happened in our society. People have become more and more individualistic. You know, there is a sense in which, you know, I don't want to sometimes be in a situation where somebody else is controlling my life. You know, this is the American way of life, right? You know, I do my own thing. We have a culture of consumerism, which means that people are, you know, they'll go to a church to see if it kind of is their style. It's kind of like going to a restaurant. You know, if a certain restaurant has the atmosphere and the food you like and so forth, you know, I'll go to it. But if it's not exactly what I want, I can always go across the street to McDonald's, right? And so there is a sense of consumerism. So as a result, people are wanting to be entertained. You know, so, you know, now I have a weak voice this morning and I'm not very entertaining. I'm just hoping I can get through the service. All right? So if it does help, I will throw an arm out or something that would help you. But I want you to be focusing on the fact that people want something that makes them feel good. You know, you come into a service like this, we got some of our main people gone because of Thanksgiving or whatever, and people get the idea, oh man, we're down, you know, and so I'm down. You know, kind of like if my football team wins the game and I'm, all right, it's way to go, and if they lose, oh, life's miserable. You know, I can't take it. You know, so, by the way, Kansas State's going to the Big 12. For your information. But it is an interesting thing that there is a sense in which we have to understand that people are in a consumerism type of mentality. So we as churches, we try to do our best to be friendly and to have the right kind of music and to have, you know, the announcements the way they ought to be. So everybody just says, oh man, I want to be there. You know, and yet if it's not what I want, I'm out of here. I'll go somewhere else. So people go from church to church to sometimes no church. There's lack of accountability. You know, people don't like to be accountable. People don't want somebody telling them what to do. They do, you know, they get that at work. They get that at school. So they don't want somebody, you know, they don't want to go to a church that someone's going to say, well, you got to live right. As a result, this is kind of this consumerism that you're having in our society. So if you have a big enough smile and you're in a big enough football stadium, you have enough people say, whoa, I'm going to go there. But there is a situation where we have to understand that people do not want somebody holding them accountable. Lack of responsibility. We do not want to do anything. I just want to come, do my part, sit in the pew, the chair, the theater seat, whatever it may be, and I want to just enjoy the show. And this is what we're dealing with. And they don't want to be responsible. Where were you last week? Whose business is that of yours? They don't want to be responsible. They don't want to take a job. They want to just do what they want to do. There's a lot of parachurch organizations who appeal through mail and media. And it's really something that, you know, if you advertise well, you'll get a crowd. And this is a contrast to the church, where we're actually just trying to meet one another's needs. And churches are being told to give people full anonymity. Somebody comes into your church, it's good to have you, Michael. They don't want that. So we're told that now what we have to do is we've got to now just kind of act like they're not there and at least be friendly enough so they know that they were there, but not friendly enough that someone's going to keep an eye on you. Do you see, this is the problem that we are dealing with. Now, I know we've always dealt with some of that over the years, but it seems to have increased incredibly. And then you have something like COVID hits you, and it's like, oh, wow, okay, now I don't have to even be there. So I want internet church. So as a result, people have a misunderstanding of what church is. I think that was round two, am I right? Okay. So, you know, so there is a sense in which we have to understand that there is a misunderstanding of what the local church is. And so I thought, well, I'm going to finish this up and do this, and half our people are gone. So, you know, you say, well, I'm going to preach on being faithful to church. And some of the people that need it the most aren't here. That's okay. Because I counted the fact that, you know, all of us need to be reminded of these things. So, what does the Bible say about the church? Now, this is going to be a review, because every point that I'm going to focus on today, we've already preached on. But I want us to be able to understand that we have to understand what church is. You didn't just come to this church. This isn't my church. This isn't your church. You are the church. You are the church of God. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to someone recently, and I was talking about the importance of church membership. And they said to me, I've never been taught this before. So we have to understand that there is a sense in which the scripture speaks in terms of being the church and what we should do with the church. And of course, if you remember, what we saw is that the scripture tells us that Jesus said, I will build my church. So we go from Matthew chapter 16, the first mention of ecclesia, church, Matthew 18, the second mention of it within the context of church discipline, Acts chapter 2, where we see the church in action, and then you see all the way through the New Testament, you have the church at Rome, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia, the churches in Galatia, the church at Philippi. And we come to the end of the New Testament, as we've described before, we come to the fact that the book of Revelation was written to who? The seven churches in Asia Minor. And so we find that the church is very important. So we should not take it lightly. And this is one of the reasons why what you're going to have. Now, stay with me today. You're not following a close outline. I will in a minute. But stay with me. You know, I want you to understand that there is a sense in which the church, there was a seriousness about it in the first century. Do you realize if I was going to write a letter to you in the first century, if I knew you were a believer, you know what I would probably do is I'd probably write a letter to the church where you're at. Especially if I wanted to speak to several Christians within that church, I would write to that church. Now today we get on email or we text them. But there was a sense in which in the New Testament, if you were going to send letters to believers, you usually sent them to the church. As a result, what happens when one person went from one church to another church? Interesting, because if you go over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul talks about something that is known as letters of commendation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says here, and of course he was saying that they were accusing him of not being a legitimate person, because he didn't have the right kind of letter of commendation. Verse 1, do we begin again, the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? In other words, if I was going to go from, say, the church at Rome, and I was going to move to Corinth, usually what would follow with you is a letter of commendation saying you are a member in good standing. For instance, you go over to the book of Romans, chapter 16. And in Romans chapter 16, it tells us about a lady named Phoebe. Romans chapter 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord. You see what he's saying here? Now here's a godly lady, he says. You know, when she comes to your church, she'll be a blessing to you just like she was a blessing in the Corinthian churches. So, in other words, you have these letters of commendation. Why did they do that? It was for protection. That's why. You know, this whole idea of going from this church to that church and bouncing around and visiting here and going, you don't see that in the New Testament. What you'll find is that they would go to those churches. Why? Because if I have aught against you, what should I do? I should go to you. And if I can't correct that, what do? I bring two or three with me. And if that doesn't work, what do? I bring it before the church. You see, in other words, there was a protection for church discipline purposes. You know, we should especially be concerned about that today when there's pedophiles out there, where there's people that could come along and they can be seen real friendly and nice and they could destroy you. So there was a sense in which we had this kind of protection. So in basic idea here of what I want to talk about this morning, and I'm going to use that expression, talk about, number one, I don't have much of a voice. Number two, I want you to follow my logic here. Okay? And that is the fact that church is very, very important. So in considering the importance of church, I want to review five reasons why going to and joining a church is important. So, number one, and I'm not going to give it in the order I preached it, but I'm going to give it in a little bit different order. Why is church attendance and church membership important? Number one, it's a fellowship issue. It's a fellowship issue. Now, if you look, you're still in Hebrews 10, am I right? I took you over to 2 Corinthians. Go over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. What's that? Yeah, you were in Romans. 1 Corinthians. You know, doesn't matter in the New Testament. It's all good. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I want us to kind of base what we're saying through these verses here. It tells us in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, and let us, verse 24, consider what? One another. You know, fellowship, it's so important that we have fellowship. You know, the assembling of ourselves together. You know, you go to Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, you were called unto the fellowship of the Son Jesus, of His Son Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, what communion hath, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? 2 Corinthians 8:4, let us take upon our, as believers, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So there was a sense in which we have this whole idea of fellowship. And the scripture tells us that we should be fellowshipping. We are not an island. This is why, for instance, Thursday, I had a joyful time watching Detroit Lions get beat all by myself. I was sick Thursday. I couldn't go to anything on Thanksgiving. My wife, she had, she really needed to go to this fellowship of Pastor Brad Fleck. And, you know, and there is a sense in which, you know, it's good to get together. I heard that the Zastros had some of you folks over and you had fellowship and you got to spend some time with each other. That is so crucial that you understand. See, we're an island. See, we're living in a day of, I want to be anonymous. I want to be my own person. I want to drive up to my driveway, hit the garage door opener. It opens up. I go in there, shut the door, and I'm done. And nobody has to talk to me. But the Bible tells us that we need to learn to fellowship. And why? Because we need encouragement. We need love. We need care. We need accountability. We need comfort. We need to be confronted. We need to be rebuked. We need to have forgiveness. We need to be restored. And it's important that we understand the importance of fellowship. And that, you know, for us to say, well, I'll just watch church online. Now, I understand if somebody's sick and someone needs to do that, that's fine. I mean, even Tuesday night, I couldn't even listen to the sermon because we were back in there. So what did I do? I listened to my own sermon from Sunday night. I thought, how bad was that? You know. So, but I preached that. But, you know, it's wonderful to have an outlet, but at the same time, you need that fellowship. Fellowship are two fellows in the same ship, right? So it's important that you not become someone who is just isolated. The second thing that we saw in considering the importance of church and why you should join a church is because it's a truth issue. It's a truth issue. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 talks about the profession of our faith. The profession of our faith. We saw in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the church is the ground of the truth. Jude verse 3 tells us that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. There is a body of belief that we need to be alert to. I'm amazed at how, and I say this not in a degrading way, but in a true academic way, people are ignorant. They're not necessarily ignorant because they're stupid. They're ignorant of what the Bible says. There was a day in which, in our own country, that you would go to school and you would say the pledge, you would pray the prayer, you might even learn catechisms of the Bible. Do you realize most people don't even know their Bible? And it's important that we understand that the local church is a truth issue. So that is why we have to understand what is truth. And of course, we saw three things when we looked at this. Number one, God is truth. We saw, secondly, the Bible is truth. And thirdly, the gospel is truth. So if that's the case, if a church is a good church, and I don't pretend to be the only good church in our area. I'm just saying that if it's a good church, it's going to be right on God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're going to be right on the Bible. They're going to be right on the gospel. And it's important that we understand that since the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth, it's important that we make sure that what we are saying is backed up by truth. Now, whose responsibility is that? Well, you say it's your responsibility as the pastor. Yes, but it's your responsibility as the listener. Acts chapter 17 tells us that those Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they search the scripture daily as to whether those things are true. In other words, You say, well, it's the great Apostle Paul. He has to be saying what's right. No, they checked him by the Scripture. You know, I appreciate it when, for instance, Zan came to me this morning and said, I got a question about the Bible. I appreciate that. Because she was trying to figure out, she's actually trying to get me to agree with her, but that's another issue. But you know, somebody is asking me a question and I'm wanting to give them a biblical answer. And it's important that we understand that church should be a place where truth is taught. Now think about this though. What about people who never go to church? Where are they getting truth? So whether they're getting it on the internet. Well, I hope so, but I'll tell you this. Talk about a bunch of nonsense. Someone has wisely said that these chat rooms and so forth is a pooling of ignorance. And sometimes people just throw all kinds of things up there. And it sounds good. Whoa! And they quote it. You know, I have family, I have relatives who will see some neat little expression and say, okay, I'm going to quote that. But sometimes it can be dead wrong. And they can be obviously out of context of the Scripture. And sometimes they'll say, well, the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, number one, the Bible doesn't say that. It's a biblical truth. But the problem is when you start saying the Bible says this. So the Scripture tells us that we need to be able to count on truth. Now just think about when people miss church. And maybe even in our church, and they miss this week and that week. I mean, they may not have any clue that I just preached through this stuff. Why? Because they're not getting the whole piece of the puzzle. You know, Dan Murphy, who used to be in our church years ago, would say, you know, church is kind of like going and you got a piece of the puzzle and you get that piece that Sunday and you put that in your puzzle and then you go the Sunday night, you get another piece for the puzzle. And then you go Wednesday night and you get another piece of the puzzle. And after a while, it starts fitting. And oh yeah, this is what the Bible says. But think about people who miss several weeks. Several times, they're missing a piece of the puzzle. You see, it's a truth issue. This is why you've got to find a church that you can be, you know, kind of like finding a mechanic that you can depend on. You know what I'm saying? You know, something goes wrong with your car and you say, well, yeah, I know so-and-so down there, he'll fix it. And I can trust him. Well, that's the way it ought to be with church. You should say, well, you know, if that church is preaching the truth, I want to be a part of that. Why is church important? Because number one, it's a fellowship issue. Number two, it's a truth issue. Number three, it's an authority issue. Now, an authority is someone who has the power or right to give orders or make decisions and enforce obedience. And we went through a whole series of issues or certain things that shows us what authorities are. We have the authority of government, you know, and the government has a right to tell us how to live. Irritating, right? Because in the middle of April, you're going to have taxes due. Well, who do they think they are? Well, I'll tell you who they are. They're your authority. Your employer has authority over you. In your home, there are authority structures the Bible gives us. And in church, there is an authority structure. You know, I mentioned how that the pastor is an authority biblically. because he pastors or leads the sheep. He's an overseer. He feeds the flock. You know, he is someone who is an elder, someone who has known the Lord for some time. But let's say, okay, we're elder rule. I don't like the pastor having control. Well, then, who is in control? Who runs this church? Well, we could say, well, the pastor. But let me promise you something. I don't do things independently. Right now, I'll ask Pastor Nathan, what do you think? I'll ask Patrick, don't I? What do you think? Dave, what do you think? Men, what do you think? We're going to vote on this. What do you think? We're going to vote in January to take on a transitional pastor. Someone recently said to me, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right for you to choose who the next pastor is going to be. I said, we're not. We as a church are going to vote on that. So as a result, you go to a church, and that church has authority structures to it. So they set the time of the services. I mean, somebody had to make a decision. We're not going to meet on Wednesday night. We're going to meet on Tuesday night last week. Who gave you the right to do that? God did. Because he gave us the authority structure. It's kind of like for a child to say, well, Mom, who do you think you are telling me to brush my teeth? Who are you anyway? Well, in case you haven't learned, I am your mom and I can tell you what to do. Right? See, this is the thing. So church is an authority issue. Now that's a real problem when you've got people who want to be independent. They don't want to be answerable to anybody. So, well, I don't like going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why do we do that? Well, come and talk to us. We can give you some good reasons why we do that. But see, people want to do their own thing. And it's important that we understand. Now, if you remember what we said about that, no delegated authority has a right to contradict God's word. So whether from a church standpoint, we can't say, you know, you've got to worship another God. I can't say that. Why? Because God's word trumps that authority. Delegated authorities have rights to insist on even non-biblical things. And to resist authority is to resist God. So we have to understand that the local church is important. Because somebody who just doesn't land in any given church, what's going to happen there is they are going to find themselves in a situation where they are going to be their own authority. And that's wrong. Number four, why is the local church important to join and to go to? Because it's a ministry issue. It's a ministry issue. And that's the title of my message this morning. But really, I didn't want to spend too much time on it because we've been talking about it from so many different angles. If you remember, if you go over to the book of Ephesians, and hold your hand here in Hebrews, we'll come back. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Why did God give leadership authorities? Verse 11, he gave them, and he includes their pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Those are not three different things. That's basically saying that the job of the authorities in the church is to help Christians mature so that they would do the work of the ministry, which will in turn build up or edify the body of Christ. Now, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm quickly going through this because Pastor Nathan dealt with this. He was going to preach for me one Sunday, and I forget where I was. And he said, would it be a problem if I just dealt with the local church? I said, go ahead. Because probably what you're going to say would be different from what I say as far as outline and so forth. But he did a very good job in explaining the importance of ministry in the church. And in Hebrews chapter 10, and that's why you'll see there, he says you got to consider one another. You know, we are not here just to be isolated individuals. We are here for one another. I've often told people, you know, you may not be able to understand the message real loud because you got a headache, but the fact that you are here would cause somebody else to get a lot out of it. Because they say, well, that person is being consistent. And I think it's important that we understand that I may not fill up to paying attention, but somebody else may get a great benefit of knowing that I am consistent. I don't want to be the excuse when I have someone considering one another. I don't want to be the excuse why it's okay to skip church. Why would I want to do that? You wouldn't believe how hard I try to not skip church. I mean, I don't try to skip church, but I try not to miss church even when I'm sick. And I have to weigh out, am I, you know, I don't want to be contagious or anything like that, so obviously I don't want to do that. But some people just, I don't feel up to it. I'm not going to go. The scripture tells us here to consider one another. And what do you do when you consider them? Verse 24, you provoke unto love and to good works. In verse 25, you don't want to forsake. Why? Because if you're forsaking the assembling, you're not there to exhort one another. And this is especially important as it comes closer to the second coming of Christ. So we've been dealing with spiritual gifts. God gives everybody a spiritual gift, at least one spiritual gift. If you are a Christian, God's given you spiritual gifts. So my question is to you is, are you serving the Lord with your gift in our church? And church is important because it's an issue of ministry. So, well, yeah, but I joined the PTA. Yeah, but you're not in the PTA exhorting one another to live for Jesus. Maybe trying to raise money in order to get a school project going or to do something for the school band. But the fact is, the Bible says that the local church is a ministry issue. And we ought to be exhorting one another. That's why you don't want to just come to church and walk out and talk to nobody. Maybe you said to yourself this morning, who could I minister to this morning? Who could I be a blessing to before I leave? Or are you, I'm out of here. No, that would be a wrong way to look at things. Now, we all can get selfish. We can all get to where we're just not in a people mood. But the fact is, there is a ministry issue involved. And the word ministry, to do the work of the ministry, is the word we get the word work. It's the word we get the word energy, is what I'm trying to say. So in other words, it takes a lot of work. So, it is important because church is not only a fellowship issue, and it's not only a truth issue, it's not only an authority issue, it's not only a ministry issue, it's fifthly a spiritual issue. And this is why unsaved people don't go to church, usually. I shouldn't say dogmatically, because there's unsaved people that go to church who do not know the gospel. There are cults out there that the churches are very big. But why is it that unbelievers don't want to go to church? Now, we started with that premise when we did this study about the importance of the local church. And we saw that in that study of the local church that some seed fell on certain soil. Other seed fell on other soil. Other seed fell on different soil. Remember, there was the hard heart, there was the shallow heart, there was the divided heart. You know why people don't want to go to church? Because they're hard. They don't care about things of God. Now, if some problem comes in their life, they may sound a little religious. Sometimes they're shallow because I'll try it a little bit, and some problem comes up in life, so, I didn't think God was worth it anyway. And other people, they're so divided in the riches and pleasures of this life, they just go through the motions. You know, that's why after a while you'll watch people, they all of a sudden they show interest, they come to church, and I want you to be aware of this. They'll come to church and all of a sudden they just drop out. Usually it's because of the fact that many times they're not saved. Now, somebody could go from this church to another good church, and that's not a bad thing necessarily. They're just, they just don't think that our church will meet their needs like this church would. So that's not so much a spiritual issue, unless they're wanting to go to another church where basically worldliness prevails, or they'll excuse their sin. But we do have to understand that if a person's heart is right with God, he's going to respond to church. That's an amazing thing. I've watched that over the years. I've been pastoring for 36 years. I've watched that over the years. If a person gets saved and they get hungry in the Word of God, they'll go to church and they're listening and they're on the edge of their seat, or they understand it. They receive it. They say, I'm going to do that. They may fail, but they're going to try to do that, even when trials come. So, someone says, well, I can be a good Christian and not go to church. No, you can't. No, you can't. You say, well, wait a minute. I read my Bible and pray. I have a personal relationship with God. I have my devotions. My question to you is, how can you be right with God when God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together? You'd be kind of like your child. You know, and your child said, you know, you said to make my bed. I'm not going to make my bed. You better make your bed or you're going to be in trouble. I'm not going to make my bed. I brush my teeth. I go to school. I do all the good things that I ought to be doing, but I'm not going to make my bed. He said, well, that's a good child. Is that a good child? How can you be right with God and you purposely reject God's word? And when the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, it's saying, you know, you cannot be a good Christian if you are not in church. Now, there's many reasons for that, because it is a truth issue, and it is a fellowship issue, and it is an authority issue, and it is a ministry issue. And yes, somebody can go to church and not be right with God, but you cannot be right with God if you are saved and you're not in church. Now, sometimes a person might say, well, I didn't know. Okay, I'll give you that. I didn't know that. But now I know that. This is why I'm preaching on that. So, as a result, if you remember, I asked some questions and answered them. And I want to end on that note. What about when my work conflicts with church? Well, I have to obey my authority as an employer, but I also have to obey God's word. Maybe a bigger question is, what do you do when God's word conflicts with your authority? Now, we're told in Daniel chapter 1, I've just got into Daniel in my Bible reading. In Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel's authority was telling him to do something contrary to his understanding of the word of God, it says he appealed to his authority. So, I think it's important that we understand that if your job conflicts with church, number one, don't take a job that regularly conflicts with church. And so, you know, I'm looking for this job, and they say, okay, well, you can work this job, and this job is going to take me out of Sunday church. Well, what do you do with that? Well, you could always go to that employer that you're wanting to get this job, and you could say to them, well, is there any way I can take this job and not have an obligation to be missing church? I'd have to talk spiritual things to him. Now, most of you, that wouldn't be a problem. But some people, they don't want to talk about God. And what I have found is that sometimes when you do that, they'll work with you. I had a job, and I've often told the story. It was the pizza ranch. I was 16 years of age. And the job worked out great. I work late Saturday nights, but I never had to work on Sunday. Well, one day, Ernie, my boss, said to me, Ernie, he says, we're going to start opening on Sundays because we can make more money. And I said, well, Ernie, I appreciate you wanting to do that, but I said, I'm a Christian and I go to church on Sundays. You know what Ernie did? I thought he would blow up. He was one of those kind of guys. Ernie left me, walked into the back room, came back in, and he said, let me tell you something. He said, if church is going to keep you on working on Sundays, I won't make you work on Sundays. But if I find out you used church as a way to get out of work, he said, you're gone. And you know, and I worked that job and worked fine. And he said, what if I'm already working a job like that? Well, you need to take and make aggressive steps to change jobs. That would be my suggestion. Why? You say, because of church? Yes! Because of church. Because it's a truth issue. It's a ministry issue. It's a fellowship issue. It's a spiritual issue. You know, it's important that we understand that we need to get serious about church. The second thing I brought up is, what about when I'm out of town or on vacation? Now, some of you, you do this, and I think you're wrong. When you're out of town, you just don't go to church. I think you're wrong. Yeah, but it's not your church. Well, I understand that. But what are you saying to your children? You know, when you're out of town, find a Bible-believing church and go to it if you can. That can be very difficult. And if you must travel on a church day, which isn't always wise, but if you have to, then just plan on church. But yeah, but I'll lose 4 hours. Yeah, but you're showing the importance of church. I've had so many people get upset with me because I would not give in on that certain subject. Well, what about when I'm sick? And I mentioned that if I'm trying to decide if I'm too sick to go to church, I also should ask myself another question. Am I too sick to go to work or am I too sick to go to school? You know, it's amazing how people treat work like, oh, that's the golden calf, you know. But yeah, church, oh, no big deal. I think that's wrong. That's sin. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Now, if you're too sick to go to work, don't come to church. And we don't want anybody to get sick because you spread germs. Well, what if I have an activity that conflicts with church? Try to get out of that activity or change the activity. Yeah, but I got company coming in. Well, just tell them we'll be there after church. Or maybe refuse to participate in that activity. And I mentioned that Dr. Wendell Heller said that his parents were farmers. And he said his dad made a covenant with God after he got saved that we as a family will be in church when the church doors are open. And he told the story, and I told you this before, that his school wanted him to play, I think it was football. I don't think it was basketball. Dr. Heller's pretty short, so probably not basketball. But he said, my coach said we got to have practice on Wednesday nights. So this is the kind of character Dr. Wendell Heller's down to that principal's office and talked to that coach and probably the principal too and said, my son will not be there. Why? Because that's when we are in church. Because he had made that vow, he was faithful to church. Now, I'm going to be done on this subject, but I hope that you would see that God has a lot to say about church. And for me to just, I don't think I'll go. Or I'll go to this church instead. That's another issue altogether. What does Hebrews 10:25 say? Can we say it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Our Father, thank you for helping me through this service, and I pray that you would help us to properly communicate the importance of church. Help us to not put it above you and your word and the gospel. Father, I pray that every individual hears my voice, whether it be in this room right now or over the internet, that they would understand that going to church is extremely important, that it's a fellowship issue, it's a truth issue, it's an authority issue, it's a ministry issue, it's a spiritual issue. Now, Father, may you get the glory for Jesus' sake. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet, no one looking around. And if God is dealing with your heart, the pianist is going to play, and if you need to come and kneel at the altar, you're welcome to do so. If not, we will end the service. As the pianist plays, you come.